So, no matter what I say.
So, no matter what I say. Yes?
What I believe.
What I believe.
And what I do.
And what I do.
I'm bankrupt without love.
But okay, let's pause there. We'll continue later. We hit a junction there. No matter what I say. No matter what I believe. And no matter what I do, I am bankrupt. That it means spiritually bankrupt without love. You remember the story of the rich fool? The rich fool, he had worked very hard and he had stored up enough to last him for what? A lifetime. His barns were full. He said, oh, now it's time for me to what? Relax. And enjoy and be merry. I don't have anything to worry. All my money problems are solved. Yeah? Anybody here, you want all your money problems to be solved? My hand is up. Hallelujah. I don't have a problem with money. Hallelujah. I don't have a problem with money. I don't know why people have a problem with money. I don't have a problem with money. Money is important. But provided it's used for the right purposes. If money was not important, go and resign your job tomorrow. And come and follow me. I will make you a fisher of men. Hallelujah. He said, and this rich fool said, you know what? I'm happy now. You know, everything is set to. I don't have any more problem. I've saved for a lifetime. And the Bible says that God called him that night and said, tonight, this very night, your soul will be required of you. So when your soul is required and when you've left, let's now see who will take over all you have stored. But there was a comment that Jesus made. Go back when you read it. He says, so is everyone who is not rich towards God. You have no treasure in heaven. You are bankrupt. In the heavenly account, you are what? Bankrupt. The people of the world may praise you. You may have all the best qualifications. But without love, Bible say what? You are bankrupt. If I invited a prophet here today, who told you what you did yesterday, and 2 years ago, and 3 years ago, and who told you what will happen to you next year, I know that Sister PJ will be happy. Hallelujah. Am I talking? Yeah? He tells you exactly how it's going to play out for the whole next year. Hallelujah. But even that prophet, with all his spiritual gifts, if he has no love, he's just gifted. No love. Then what I'm trying to tell you is that the prophet may do that, go home and beat up his wife. That doesn't mean he won't still have the gift. Hallelujah. Sometimes the gift of God will still work. When God has given the gift, he will still let it work. The gift does not, it's not gift that makes a minister. It helps. It's character. The gifts help, but it's character. Hallelujah. It's character that makes a leader, a spiritual leader. It's your character. And that character cannot be formed, truly formed, without love. And I'm not talking of human love. I'm talking of divine love, which we will explain. So he said, even if I move in all those gifts and I don't have love, what am I? I am spiritually bankrupt. I don't know if you understand the meaning of bankrupt. Let's ask an accountant. Where is the mic? Brother Tola, what does it mean to be bankrupt? I mean, according to those accounting terms, yeah?
Well, when your liabilities exceed your assets.
Please say that again.
When your liabilities.
When your liabilities.
Exceed, and you don't have a capability of.
Exceed your assets.
Yeah. You don't have enough capability to generate enough assets.
Oh, you don't have enough what?
Capability.
Capability. Oh. You see that? Someone who is bankrupt may have assets. Yeah? You understand? So physically, naturally, you can sit down, like we all do, and measure your life. You know, I have this degree. Maybe you're not bad, but, you know, okay, anyway. But at least I have that. I finished my degree. I have this job. I can pay my bills. I can pay my rent. You know, I I have a house to live in. I come to church on Sunday. I try. I know I'm not good, but I try. You have assets. But your liabilities exceed your asset. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you something. The worst state to die in. Yeah? The worst state to die in is to die without knowing God. Someone who dies without knowing God. Yeah? No matter their assets. Where are they going to? Hellfire. Don't misunderstand hell. Hell has many definitions. There's hell called grave. Everybody goes to the grave. Yeah? Apart from me and us. I'm not even going to the grave. I'm going to the rapture. Amen? That's my plan. I don't know about your plan. But that's my plan. I told you my plan. What's my plan? I want to fly. Hallelujah. I believe I can fly and I'm planning to what? Fly. But the only problem is that if you want to fly, please remove all the weights. The weights in your life can stop you from flying. And there will be no apology. Hello, are you listening to me? Hallelujah. 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 Without love, I'm bankrupt. I may have the gift of healing. You come before anything, you lay hands, growth, everything disappear. I may be able to come here and lead a prayer meeting, like Sister Mary, and the whole building will shake. I'm not getting at you. You understand? Hello? Sister Mary, I'm not getting at you. That's how I preach. Hallelujah. That's, you see? If I'm not using you to preach, that means that I'm afraid of you. Yeah? But even if I do that and everybody say, oh, that's my spiritual sister. And I don't have love. I'm bankrupt. My liabilities exceed my asset before God. So I was just trying to say that the second worst state a person can die in, apart from going to hell, is to appear at the judgment seat of Christ and you are bankrupt. You know me of bankrupt? You have nothing to show for your life because you use all your life to pursue what does not count. So, when you appear at that judgment seat, everything you've done in your life, you're a Christian, you barely made heaven, but everything you've done, all those good things you thought you've done, they'll be listed one after the other. And then, as they are listed, you'll be feeling happy. Oh, I did 1,000 things. Then Jesus will now tell you, phase 2, pass them through fire. Let's open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're still coming back to love. But you see, if I don't make you understand the risk, the danger, you will not understand the value. You understand? I'm not trying to pull you down. I'm just trying to make you understand the danger. Someone said, I said, the most foolish person in life is the person that knows that definitely, certainly, you're going to die one day. You know, from the moment you are born, that's certain. The moment you enter this world, you know that you will leave this world. Have you ever found somebody who will live forever in this world? Like, no. So you know. So that means that the most foolish person is the person who is not planning for their eternity. It doesn't matter how smart they are the foolish of the foolishest. Because they're not planning for their eternity to die. And you know that certainly you are going there. Hallelujah. And you're not even guaranteed the day that you're going. It's just by the mercy of God. And even if you enjoy all the mercies of God, you will still go. Maybe God give you 120 years. Hallelujah. And glory to God. The prayer we all pray is that we should go with the rapture. But if the rapture tarries, I don't want to live until I'm of no use to myself. Hello, by the time you are of no use to yourself and no use to anybody, what's the value of your life? Hello. Hallelujah. Open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I'm giving to you today, you know, something that if you understand it, and you make use of it, in heaven you will thank me. I say, Pastor Ben, I remember that day. See me now. Hallelujah. And even then, when the Lord will reward you, I won't collect it. You see what I mean? It'll be yours. The Lord will reward me for doing my own job. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I want it from the Amplified Version. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. But Toby, we'll come back to you later on 1 Corinthians 13. But let's have someone else read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 from the Amplified Version. Actually, I think we can do two verses there. So let me see if it's 11. Let me check my... Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 to 11, Amplified Version. Okay, Sister Mary?
Chapter 5, verse 10 to 11. For we believers will be called to account.
We will be what?
Called to account.
Please, can we say it together? Say for we.
For we.
You know, this 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 is not addressed to unbelievers. The sinners will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. We are not going to be judged at the same time as sinners. Sinners will not be resurrected at the rapture. At the rapture, only true believers. False believers will not make the rapture. They are hypocrites. They will not make it. Unbelievers have no chance to make the rapture. They can still be saved during the tribulation, but it will be through fire and blood. Do you understand me? But they can be saved. Hallelujah. But sinners will not be in the congregation of the righteous. They will be resurrected in the second resurrection. And they will face the great white throne. Bible says, from whose face the whole earth fled. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're not in the same judgment. Hallelujah. We're not in the same judgment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The judgment of believers is their works will be tested. Everything you've done will be tested and judged. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus said, Revelation 22 says, I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me. You know, that's not the part I like most. The part I like most is I'm going to give to every man according to their deeds. Hello? So he said, he that is faithful, continue to be
faithful.
Don't stop. And he that is unfaithful, what do you do? Continue to be unfaithful. Don't stop. Okay, stop. Repent. Okay. But if you're not interested in repenting, do it well. So that when you get your reward, you have no regret. Are you with me? The Bible says that believers, we will be brought into account. Let me tell you something. Spiritual accountability, something you can never escape. Is that so? Hallelujah. You will be accountable. And I say something, the only way to be accountable at the judgment seat is to start being accountable now. I will still refer back to the accountant. He will give us some more insight into this accounting business. Amen? Amen. Please read on. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Amplified Version. 10-11. We must all
judgment seat of Christ.
Before the judgment seat.
So that
of Christ.
Each one may be repaid.
So that what? We will be
repaid.
Mean that God will repay you
for what he has
for everything
been done in the
you are
body.
Doing. Say to yourself, say, God will repay me.
Will repay me
for everything.
For everything
I'm doing.
I'm doing.
Let me tell you something about that. You know the part I fear most about that is the fact that if I want to repay Sister Claudia for what she's doing, I can only repay her based on the things she says. Or the thing she actually does. But God sees your heart. Hello? So, he will not just repay you for your words and action. Sometimes, you have something, you are doing something, but in your heart, you are not happy. Amen? Let me just say something. Let us be very careful as Christians, as believers, all of us, including myself. You see, because we are dealing with human beings, offenses will come. I want you to expect it. It's going to happen. Whether you're a pastor or you're a prophet or you're a member, people will offend you. That's why we need love. Hello? We need love because offenses must. Now let me tell you something. When you allow offense to enter into your heart, you will stop the blessing. And we're explaining the own fellowship. That's one reason I don't want offense. Even when, you know, you must try where possible to seek reconciliation. Where possible. It's not always, but we must try. Because when offense enters your heart, yeah, it will become bitterness. Blessing will stop. Blessing will what? Stop. Blessing doesn't stay where offense is. That's what Jesus said. Let me explain. Because I know you read it. That's what Jesus said. He said, you take your gift to the altar. You know? You take your tithe and offering. You know? That today is the day. Hallelujah. And you're there. You're in your best suit or agbada, you know. And you're there. Suddenly, you remember. Now, look at the way the Bible says that your brother has something against you. Ah. So, okay. Don't take the gift back. God is interested in the gift. Do you understand? Hello? Please understand the Bible. Did he say take the gift back?
No.
What do you do?
Leave it.
Let's keep that one. Yeah? Go back. And first be reconciled to your brother. Then come back. What? Why? Why? Because we understand from the Bible that God already said that when you give, he will bless you. But God doesn't want you to give in vain. Because offense will block the blessing. So that's why he said, leave the gift. I want to bless you. I'm interested in blessing you. I've not changed my mind about blessing you. But that thing that will stop your blessing, go and reconcile. Amen? Show you another one. I just leave the Holy Ghost to speak. I have to just completely give up with my plans. I think it's always better when I just flow with the Holy Spirit. He said another thing. He said, Mark 11:24, he said, whatever thing you desire. By the way, I was reading the scripture. Bible says something, said, if we ask anything that pleases God, he will give us. Yeah. Now, I know you don't understand fully that. Because what we understand is, I want to ask God what I want. And he should just give me. God doesn't operate like that. God already has enough to bless your life with that all your needs will be met and you will be happy and fulfilled. Within his will. Get it? You know, I've always emphasized that God is light and in him there is no darkness. And say every good and perfect good comes from above. That means that in God's will, you have sufficient blessing to be happy and fulfilled. I'm not talking of just spiritual things. I'm talking of physical. You know Abraham? Abraham was a friend of God, isn't he? Abraham was so blessed, he raised a military army in his house from his servants. Hello? He raised one. He was so blessed. He had his own army. It's not just hospital. You know, if someone will have army, they must have their own hospital too. Hello? Mm-hmm. Abraham was so blessed. He has his own restaurant, his own hospital, his own jet. You know, there was no jet in those days. But what Abraham had was equivalent to jet. I'm not saying you should go and look for jet, okay? So, God can bless you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Within God's perfect will, there is blessing. But there are things we look for that are outside of God's will. Those things cannot do you any good. I said they are good, but they are not perfect. I said if God opens your eyes, open your eyes, you will pray. I said, God, take it away. If he shows you 2 years down the line, what that thing you are looking for will do to you. I said, God, remind me again. Is this not your perfect way? He said, it's not my perfect way. I can permit it. God can permit it. Mm. Say to yourself, say, God can permit it. It's part of his love. Mm. God taught me that about love. Mm. I practice it. There are times that things will happen. Yeah? As you're dealing with someone else. Maybe your spouse or your brother or sister, biological, or your friends or your parents. There may be something you want them to do, but they refuse. Yeah? Now, in the flesh, you want to Because, for example, let's assume that you are very convinced 100% that that's the right thing. You will want to impose it. Yeah? And say, you must. In fact, today you are not going anywhere. You are not going to work nothing until you do this thing. He said, but why wait? I said, because God has told me. I said, God told me it's the right thing. You must do it. Anybody, you relate with that? Yeah? God taught me. Because we have to be like our Father God. You see, we have to, anything you worship, you will become like it. Hello? Mm-hmm. Are you listening to me? Mm-hmm. Father God, even when he wants us to do something, does he force us?
No.
Why? Because love is, what you said last week, love is patient. Hallelujah. That's why we have a perfect will of God and a permissive will of God. The purpose of the patience is that God will allow you to explore your own way and see the result. It may take 2 years out of your life. Two. You know how time goes? 2 years outside the will of God. 2 years. Some people, it's 5 years. They've missed God. For 5 years, they're just chasing and chasing, but they are not making any spiritual progress. Because they are in the permissive will of God. They are not in the perfect will of God. Are you with me? I don't want to live in the permissive will of God. There are times God, I'm praying, and God say, do you want it that way? I say, okay, which one do you want? Because he's willing to permit me. God is flexible. By the way, it's not every permissive will of God that will destroy you. You understand? There are some permissive will of God that you will still get to your destination, but you will suffer unnecessarily. Abraham, God permitted him to marry Agar. Are you with me? Yeah. But that was not what? His perfect will. Hallelujah. But because God permitted Abraham, Abraham thought that it was perfect will. So he started raising up Ishmael like his heir. Until one day, God called him and said, in Isaac. No, before that. That was after Isaac was born. Let's rewind back. God visited him and said, your wife, Sarah, will give birth to his son. Well, Abraham said, well, before I didn't have any. Now, I will have 2 sons. Glory to God. He didn't get it. He didn't get it. I'm telling you. So, we had Ishmael, who was like 15 years older, and Isaac. And they grew up together. Until one day, God visited Abraham and told him, in Isaac shall your seed be called. After I've invested 15 years in training this other one, then Abraham started interceding. You check it. He said, but what of Ishmael? What will happen to him? He interceded for Ishmael. And then God said, I will also bless Ishmael. But in Isaac shall your seed be called. Yeah? Hello? Hello? You know the city of Jerusalem? You know that city is the hottest city in the world. I'm not talking of temperature. I'm talking of modern hotness. That's Jerusalem is the center of the world. It's the most disputed and most contested piece of real estate in the world. Do you know why? It has to do with Abraham and the permissive will of God. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, seek the perfect will of God. Trust God that when you are in his perfect will, your life will move in the right direction. It may take sacrifice. Yeah? But the cost of not being in the perfect will of God is wasted years. It is more costly. Hello? It is costly to be in the perfect will of God because you will sacrifice. Yeah? You will sacrifice at least initially before you see the blessing. If you plant the seed today, please don't expect the fruit tomorrow. It takes time. Hallelujah. But if you go to the permission of God, you may get the fruit tomorrow. But it will do you damage for many years. Are you with me? So, Brother Toby, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. And we read again. 1 Corinthians, look, open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 13, that's our main text. Let's read again from Message. 1 Corinthians, we're talking about the ultimate. What's the ultimate thing in life? Let me explain that. I explained it a different way last week. Let me explain that. The question is, how can I live my life without regret? No regret. How can I make the most of this one life that I have? How can I walk through life and I just know that I can face God and I'm not afraid? You don't have to be afraid on judgment day. You don't have to. Hallelujah. Let me prove it to you. In 1 John, it's 1 John 5, he said, there's no fear in love. He said, when we are perfected in love, we do not have a fear of judgment. You know what I mean? I know there are many ways to interpret it. My interpretation is simple. When you are walking in love, there is no fear of judgment. Hallelujah. When your life is motivated by love, it involves sacrifice, I know. But your conscience will be clear. We were saying this at home fellowship on Friday. I said, you don't need spiritual gifts to capture basic spiritual information as a child of God. If it's a child of the devil, yes, they may need. You are a child of God. The Bible says already that you are born again. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Think of, hallelujah, you're already, you know, a citizen of heaven. Mean that if you die now, you are on your way where? To heaven. Bible says to be absent in the body is to what? To be present with the Lord. No fear. So, to know what is going on in the spirit, to walk in a place and know that something is wrong here, you don't need spiritual gifts. All you need is a clear conscience. When your conscience is clear, you can pick up all the spiritual information. Hallelujah. Amen. You all see that? Something is not right with you today. You were not there, you don't know. But you picked it in your spirit because your sensitivity is high. Hallelujah. But you cannot have a clear conscience without walking in love. You know why? Because you will take offense. You will what? You will take offense. The moment you take offense, you're on the way down. But thank God because we can repent. Amen? Let me tell you something. If you are caught up in offense, if you've taken offense, you are resentful, you are bitter, just repent and let it go. If you can't solve it, go to the person. Sometimes it's so difficult you can't even go through the process of talking through it. Just say, I forgive you and I release you. It's a confession of faith. Hallelujah. You are releasing them, but you're actually releasing yourself so that you can come back and walk in love. Hallelujah. Love is the ultimate because when you're walking in love, you'll be making the right choices. Because at this moment, human love, like I explained last week, is selfish. Human is always concerned about me and mine. You see? For example, if I didn't know Sister Claudia before, I meet her on the road. Human love, I don't care. The moment she becomes my friend, I care. Me too. But if she becomes my best friend, then I really, really care. You see what I mean? That's human love. That's why you see some celebrities, they marry 2 years, divorce. They go back again. They're looking for the permanent I. Yeah? They can't get. Human love is selfish. It's always concerned about me and mine. God's love is selfless. I think I should. Let's change gear. Let's do what? Tell your neighbor, say, let's change gear. Yeah, so we have bypassed you, Bro Toby. Sorry. Question. Why should you walk in love? Now, there are many good answers, but I'm looking for a perfect answer. Why should you walk in God's love? Why? Yes? Where is the mic? Bro Toby. Let's take like 3-4 answers. Why should you walk in God's love on a daily basis? Why?
Because God is love.
Because what?
God is love.
God is love. That's a good answer. Yes, you close. Yes, let's take more. Why should you walk?
in God's love.
Yes, to be imaginative. Don't try to be perfect.
Yes, why? Why? What is the incentive? Or what's the reason? In fact, actually, I'm looking for the reason. What is the basic reason why you should walk in God's love? Let me give you an example. Someone has annoyed me. I don't feel like talking to them for a week. I'm not giving an example. I'm telling you what can happen to me naturally. If you seriously annoy me, I can afford not to talk to you for a year. In the flesh, that's me. You've annoyed me. I will not miss you for 1 year. So why should I bother? Thank you.
Because it would appear that love is the real basis for eternity.
Okay, so it would appear that love is the real basis for eternity. Or let's say in another way, love is the ultimate. Yes? Good answer, but that's not the perfect answer I'm looking. Anybody? Let's take one more, and then I will show you something. You are close. The answers are good. They are all within the scope.
Yeah, well, it's because it's part of God's commandments.
Yes.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself. And we read in 1 John, say, I'm giving you a new commandment that you should love one another. Okay, let me show you my perfect answer. Let me start with a quiz. Anybody can quote for me John 3:16? Anybody quote? No, don't reopen. Just quote it. And okay, you are so bold. Let's go for you. Yes?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
That whosoever believes in him
shall have everlasting life.
Should not perish.
But have everlasting life.
I'll be like a typical interpreter. They will add their own. Now, so most people know John 3:16. It may surprise you that even an unbeliever on the street, they've had John 3:16 quoted to them so many times, they can quote it. Now, somebody give me 1 John 3:16. Anybody? Quote it. No, don't read it. Quote it. 1 John 3:16. There's another John 3:16. It's just 1 John. We read it earlier today. Anybody quote it? Dara, you want to try? You put up your hand. God bless you. Amen. Open your Bible to 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 is the next level to John 3:16. I learned it from my friend, Pastor Ade. 1 John 3:16. That's the one you don't know. You know John 3:16, but you don't know 1 John 3:16. So, who would like to read? Someone who has not said anything today or read anything? Anybody? Yes, Sister Claudia? 1 John 3:16. That wonderful Bible of yours.
Hereby. Perceive we the love of God.
This is how we perceive the love of God. Yes?
Because he laid down his life
reason.
For us.
It's giving us reason. Hello? It is giving us the reason why we should love someone. You say why? Because he laid down his life for us. Now, give me the second part.
And we ought to lay down
therefore,
our lives for the brethren.
We ought to lay down our own lives for the brethren. Let me explain that to you. You see, the human being is essentially selfish. Have you noticed? I learned it all the time from children. And in the way, we're all like children. I'll show you later that we're all like children spiritually until we grow in love. It's essentially selfish. So when you say, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, is God giving, not me? Hello? That's good. That's good. Oh, I love Jesus. I love him so much. He's the lover of my soul. He gave his only son that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, God. You're so good. You're so kind. Amen? It's a good starting point. I told you, you can't walk in God's love until you receive it. Hallelujah. You cannot give what you don't have. When you open up your heart and you let that love of God just enter, you will no longer, you will stop being a cold person. You know, England is cold. Hello? England is what? Double cold. Not one cold. Double. You don't understand what I mean? It's cold physically.
And it's also cold
spiritually. That's why people are cold. Have you ever met people that are cold? They don't care. They don't have time for you.
Once they enter their house,
end of story. The only other people that will enter with them are their very close friends and their family. You may not know they exist again. Are you with me? People can, when you need to understand, when in the, any way you go to this earth, there are territorial spirits that sit there. No, I'm telling you, any town you go to, whether it's England or Netherlands or Nigeria, Ghana, Cameroon, ever, there are some demons that, no, actually, I don't want to call them demons. I want to call them principalities. Yeah, they are, you know, that's why they call them principal. They sit over those towns. Now, most of these people, they have their own unique behavior. One of the principalities in England, yeah, is a spirit of coldness. It wasn't always like that, by the way. You know, England brought the gospel to my natural born country. Amen? So I thank God that now I can bring the gospel back. Amen? So, what I want to tell you is that as a Christian, when you enter into the domain of a principality, if you are not watching and praying, that spirit will start controlling you. Before long, you'll be cold and mean. Hallelujah. You will pick it up. Sometimes, South America, they have principalities of immorality that just dominate it. When you enter, you are not watching. What will you do? You will be doing exactly what they are doing. Sometimes, there are principalities of alcohol. People have destroyed families in some town. You understand? Broken, gone. I mean, the man doesn't. Somebody that was doing well. And the spirit will take over and they become homeless on the street. Are you with me? If you enter that town, you are a Christian. If you are not watching and praying, what will happen? You will start doing it. Small, small. It's always small, small. And then it will start increasing. I'm just trying to explain to you that. Hallelujah. As a believer, the love of God, it warms up your heart. Hallelujah. Because when your heart is not warm, you can't be generous. Are you listening to me? When your heart is not warm, you can't what? You can't be generous. Do you know, and I read it, that patience is a product of generosity. Hello? Someone stepped on your toes. Yeah? And you choose rather than dealing with them to hold back. You are being generous. You see that? You are generous in your tolerance. And listen to me. Now, when you are cold and mean, you will know what? Be generous. You will give it immediately. Hello? He said, slap me, turn the other cheek. What do you mean? I will turn it up and give you my own slap. Then we start again. It takes God's love inside you to have warmed up your heart before you can be generous. If that love does not dominate you, you will be taking offense every time. Everything will offend you. The worst thing about offense is that the offense will cut you from the blessing. If you ever met somebody offended, you can't meet somebody offended and they are happy. The only thing that makes them happy is to talk about their offense. That this is what this person did and I don't like it. They are unhappy. The only thing that makes them happy is that they meet somebody and they have to tell them, this is what this person did and I'm not happy. And if you can agree with them, they will be happy. But that's not God's way for your life. You understand? It's the love. So he said, this is how we perceive the love of God. Because, read again. Do you have the mic? The proof of God's love. Why should we walk in love? Yes?
Because he laid down his life for us.
This is how we perceive the love of God.
Because he laid down his life for us, what should we do?
And we ought to lay down
our life. We ought. Everybody say, we ought. Say, I ought. To lay down my life. You see, the moment you lay down your life, selfishness is crucified with Christ. You have to crucify them with their hands up. You have to lay down your life for the brethren.
That's love. So the reason why you walk in love is because of Jesus. It's not because of them. They will offend. Even your pastor will offend you. Whether he actually offended you or he didn't. The fact that you're even seeing him every time may offend you. Huh? But because of Jesus, you will do the right thing. Say, because of Jesus, I will do the right thing. That's the reason. You see, when people offend you, the natural you is to take revenge. But what you need to quickly remember is Jesus. Say, Jesus. Remember Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't feel like going the extra mile. But because of Jesus. You see what I mean? Sometimes you don't feel like getting up even to come to church or prayer meeting. But because of Jesus. Sometimes you work too hard. Where is Sister Toyin? She's gone. No, she's not probably here. Maybe you've cooked. You're having visitors. You just cook. I don't know why I remember her. You cook and cook and cook and cook. Every bone and muscle in your body is aching. Hello? But why will you do it? Why will you continue? Because you can just blow up and say, wait a minute. Everybody go and buy pizza. But why do you persevere? Because of Jesus. Because you know that every time you do something to honor God, the kingdom moves forward. Amen? Hallelujah. You see, the best platform for repentance is love. If someone believes that they are useless and they have no future and they are the worst person and nobody loves them, they have no incentive to change. Hello, are you listening to me? Someone, yes, they are badly behaved, they've done the wrong thing, whatever. But the moment they believe that nobody loves them, they will continue and do worse. You know why? Because they are rejected. Are you listening to me? But when they receive love, they have the incentive to change. Hallelujah. You know why? Because love's hope are faithless. When you receive love, hope comes. Hallelujah. When you receive love, hope comes alive. Amen. Let's think here as I begin to round up. Let me see. Show you. Sister Mary, let's go back to... No, Brother Toby, let's read 1 Corinthians 13. Let's read it again. And then we go to 2 Corinthians 5. And then I begin to round up there. 1 Corinthians 13 and 2 Corinthians 13. So let's have 1 Corinthians 13 from Message. I'm going to probably pause you again somewhere. Go on.
Verse 4, right?
From verse 1. Okay. Again.
If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor.
If I give everything I own, just imagine what he's saying. Everything you worked out for in your life, you give it to the poor, yes?
And even go to the stake to be burned as a
martyr. And I release my body even to be burned. Like we said last week, it could be because of recognition. It could be self-righteousness. To feel good. Like we said, you know, somebody is an armed robber. Steals a lot of money, but gives a large offering. To feel good. Yes, continue.
But I don't love.
But I don't love.
I've gotten nowhere.
I've gotten nowhere. Yes, the final, the cliffhanger. Yes.
So, no matter what I say.
So, no matter what I say. Please, church, let's repeat after Brother Toby. Read again.
No matter what I say.
Let's do that.
What I believe.
What I believe.
And what I do.
And what I do.
I'm bankrupt without love.
I'm bankrupt without love. Amen. It means that your bank account in heaven is empty. Let me explain it this way. As we go to 2 Corinthians 5:10, then we now go to 1 Corinthians 3 to explain it better. You see, everything you do in life, God will check the motivation. So two people can do exactly the same thing. One we get a reward, and one we get nothing. Amen. Bible talks about the Pharisees when they were doing their giving. He said, you know, they will take a trumpet, blow it, and then, you know, walk in the middle of sin, and then they will give to the poor. Bible says, certainly they have received their reward. That's the only reward they will ever get, the recognition. He said, Father has no reward for them. Their motive was wrong. Amen? Someone can do that, but with the right motive of glorifying God, and they will have a reward in this world and in the world to come. Your motive is what matters. And if it's not that highest motive of honoring God, highest motive of hallowing the name of Jesus and not bringing it into disrepute, that motive of laying down your life because Jesus laid down his life for you. I don't know if you understand what it means for God to become a man and stay in that body for 33 years. He left his glory. Another thing you need to understand that Jesus is still a man. He is still a man. I was explaining to someone last week, I said, angels cannot intercede. Let me tell you why. The only people that qualify to intercede are men. That's why even Jesus could not intercede until he became a man. And now, he is seated at the right hand of the Father as a high priest. And the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. You know why? Because he's a man. He's resurrected. He's perfected. Yeah? But he remains a man. Like you and I. But he's a perfected state. At the rapture, we will take on that same body. Like Jesus. And we'll be united forever. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Angels are ministering spirits. They obey the voice of his word. That's their job. Amen? No matter what I say, no matter what I believe, and no matter what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love has to be my motivation. Love will make me go the extra mile. Love will make me sacrifice and be patient. Love will make me forgive. Love will make me give and be generous. Love will make me pray and fast. Because there's no selfish gain in it this time. I have a personal problem with people. The only time they ever fast and pray is when they're in trouble. They will never fast and pray for the salvation also. They will never fast and pray that people should grow spiritually. They will never fast and pray, you know, that somebody that is in trouble, that their life should be changed. But when they are in trouble, they will declare 3 days dry fasting. It's a selfish way to live. And there is no reward for it in heaven. Do you know that? By the way, imagine if I said 3 days dry fast. But it will just pass through fire, it will burn. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We are rounding off. 2 Corinthians 5:10. 5 minutes. We round up there. We still go to 1 Corinthians 3. Because I need to link them. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Read it from Amplified. Thank you, Bro Toby. We finish with your side now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 from the Amplified version. Let's read it again. Second Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 from the Amplified version. Yes, are you there?
Yeah.
Go.
For we believers will be called to account and must all appear before judgment seat of Christ.
Whether we like so it that or not.
Each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body.
Yes.
Whether good or bad.
Yes, now give us some more detail. Go on.
That is will be held responsible.
Each will be held responsible
for this action.
For their action.
Purposes.
Goals. Motives.
The use of misuse of time.
The use or misuse of their time.
Opportunities and abilities.
Opportunities and abilities. Hello? Let me tell you, the greatest accountant is Jesus. Did you know? Before you did your profession, Jesus himself. He's the chief accountant. He's not just the high priest or the chief shepherd. He's also what? The chief accountant. Every deed will be judged. For their purpose, their motive, their goal. The way you used your time or misused it will be what? Judged. But let me show you a bit more insight into the judgment. And then link it back to love and we finish. Go to 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. 1 Corinthians, we read it, Bible reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11 to 15. So I want you to understand your future. The only time you should not be interested in this place that we're reading is if you're not planning to go to heaven. Hello? I said if you're not planning to go to heaven, you have no business with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15. If that's your plan, it's good to know what you would expect. Yes? Brother Dilly. Wait, look, Sister Mary, let's go around. Let's go for those who are not read. Brother Dilly, 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15.
It's not amplified.
It's okay.
Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire.
It shall be revealed by fire.
And the fire shall try every man's work.
The fire will try every man's work.
Of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon.
If your work, which is everything you've done in your life, if it survives that fire, what will happen?
He shall receive a reward.
You will receive what?
A reward.
Can I just add and say that? And it's an eternal reward. When God rewards in heaven, it's permanent. It cannot be taken away. It cannot change. Yes. It's a permanent. Eternity is a permanent state. As someone says, in this life, you can change your status. So work hard at it. In eternity, once you have gone to the judgment, whatever your status is, your status forever. There is no time in eternity. You know the meaning? There is no change of state. Continue.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall what?
Suffer loss.
Do you know the meaning of that? Regret. Tears. There's tear in heaven. But the Bible says that God will wipe away every tear. If God will wipe away every tear, there must be what? Tears. I want to try to give you an understanding of what I'm trying to say. I'm not scaring you. I'm telling you that you cannot afford to waste your life. I want you to feel my passion. Your life is not just about the food you eat and the water you drink. There is a reason why God has deployed you to this earth. And you will give account of it. The value of your life is measured by the judgment seat. All the things you are doing, both good and bad, will pass through fire. Why you came itself is what remains after that fire. If everything is burned, it means you were better not to have come. Because you wasted it all. That means that if everything is burned, it's like your world and the prodigal son. He just wasted it all. Misuse or use of our time, opportunities, we count. Suffering loss means that you thought to yourself that I'm okay. Then you find out on judgment day that you were zero. And you cannot go back to change it. Neither can you change your state forever. That's the meaning of suffering. Lord. And so that's why I say, it's now that you're in this world that you can change something. So get busy with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The only way to guarantee that you will make the most of your life is to love and serve God in this life. There is no other way. No other way. Believe me. No other way. You know, our young people, God bless you. You know what I want to announce to you is that your daddy here was also as young as you sometime. I mean, mommy, do you agree? A young, handsome man. I saw the picture. He's still handsome. Hello? But one day, you will grow like him. I'm not saying you're old, sir. I'm just saying that one day, you will take over the shoe. That he will also take over the shoe of his father. Are you with me? So we must not be deceived that you have time. You don't have time. What you have is opportunities. Hello? What you have is opportunities to love and serve God now. The only guarantee that you will not suffer loss is to use the opportunities you have now. Tomorrow is not in your hand, but today is your gift. That's why they call it the present. Amen? It is what? The present. Your present. Your opportunity. Please finish it.
But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Okay. Did you talk about the materials? Did you read gold, silver, precious stones? Was that the place?
No.
Okay. Let's leave it. For time, I need to round up now. Yeah? 12. Verse 12. Yeah? Let's read verse 12.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble.
Let's stop there. I want to explain to you that there are six types of materials that you can use to build your life. Meaning, all the things you do, what is motivating? What is motivating you? Gold, silver, and precious stones. We've interpreted it because I thank God for the word of God. You can link it. If you go to 1 Corinthians 13:13, it tells us, it said there are three things that will last forever. They will pass through the fire, but they will not be burned. And they are what? Faith, hope, and love. That's your gold, silver, and precious stones. If your life, everything you do is being motivated by faith and hope and love, it will count. And you will receive a reward. And in fact, not just that, you will also live a good life. Because you will find fulfillment. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you, there's two other materials. I will interpret them for you. Wood, hay, and what? And stubble. You know what they are? Pride. Pride is wood. Amen? Pride is wood. Amen? Self-righteousness. You know what self-righteousness is? I'm better than that one. So, I'm not that bad. I know I'm not good, but at least I'm better. Yeah, I do this, I do that, I do that. I'm okay. All these preachers, they just preach. It's because they want your money. Only preachers want money. Don't you want money? You think if it's money that is motivating me, I should not be a pastor. When I finished my PhD, someone said, go into a company and earn good money. I stayed back at the university. I said, no, I have to follow God's plan for my life. Hallelujah. I don't want to gain the world and lose myself. I'm not saying somebody who is working in company. No, no, no. What I'm saying is that whatever you're doing, what is the motivation? Hallelujah. Money is not enough to motivate me to do the work of God. Hallelujah. Because doing the work of God for me is to pour out my life so that some life can have a good eternity. Hallelujah. Pride, self-righteousness. And let me give you another one. Selfish ambition. Huh? You know that sense of achievement and something, I'm something. You're nothing. I'm something, you're nothing. I'm something, you're nothing. Yeah? When you build your life on that, it will just go into the kingdom and burn. Hallelujah. But faith, hope, and love will abide forever. Hallelujah. Let us pray.